All right. Welcome everyone who is listening to this, wherever you may be, but especially out there in western North Dakota, that Marshall area. May it be another exciting day for you who listen, as well as other parts of the country, Arizona, Texas, who knows? But we're here in Milford, Iowa. And so we are to our second to the last study of the book of 1 Timothy. And so that's where we're going to start here today with the review from last week. The first question is, what is the warning that Paul repeats to Timothy that we heard from last week? What does he repeat?
Watch out for false teaching.
Yes. False teachers, false teaching that has come into the church, and that is what he is really focused on, and he's really encouraging Timothy as a young pastor there to be mindful of the things that will be coming into the church, that the people hear the truth, because that's what Jesus said he was. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except through me. Number two, what are the fruits of conceited teachers and preachers?
None.
What are the fruits that you find? Do not say apples, oranges, or pears.
Nothing.
Quarrels, envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, yeah. Constant friction.
Yep, it's all bad fruit, isn't it? We find that. Controversies. It's kind of like people just like to waggle their tongue. Wag the tongue. The tongue causes a lot of problems. Number three, what does Paul teach that is of great gain? Blank with contentment. What is the word for the blank?
Godliness.
Yeah, godliness. Godliness with contentment is of great gain. Godliness, is that something that comes very natural to us?
No.
Good answer. It's something that only God can produce in us and make things happen in a godly way in us. We do not have godliness in a natural way. Number four, what is the root of all kinds of evil?
Money.
The love of money.
Yeah, it's the love of money. There's nothing wrong with being wealthy. It's just that if you are just focused on making money, that's all you want is money, 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 and you keep on your honey, to stop spending money, then it's not a fun day in the neighborhood, is it?
Don't have to worry about that right now.
Yeah. Why try to save it? Because somebody else is going to take it. And sometimes even medical field. It's like, okay, another bill. And other things. The last one here on the review is, what is a cure for someone who struggles with coveting? Remember what coveting was or is?
It's a, the neighbor or somebody else's possessions.
It's a strong desire to want something that you do not have. Somebody else has it, you want to get it somehow, some way. And it's in the Ten Commandments. The ninth and tenth commandment deal with coveting. And we are to look out for our neighbor, that no one takes what they may have, and we should not covet what they have either. But we should rejoice when, you know, things are going well for them and things that they can enjoy in life. You know, as their neighbor, we should be thankful for that, and we should encourage them and say,
always think like, bloom where you're planted.
Yeah.
Be happy with where you are and what you have.
Yeah, mm-hmm. For sure. So what is the blank should have what in there for number five? What is a cure for someone who struggles with coveting? This is a cure, a really good cure. And that is?
Bible, for one. Love God.
You're close.
We're close.
What is the word used for godliness with?
Contentment,
yeah. If you're content, you will not have to struggle with coveting. Yeah. You got, I'm fine with what I got.
Bloom where you're planted.
There you go. Bloom where you're planted.
I'm going to put that. Norma says.
Norma says. Bloom where you're planted.
That's right. Be happy where you are. Where you're
And what is the apple tree report, Norma?
Oh, it's over.
It's over? Apples are over?
All the big, beautiful ones in the top are coming down now.
Are they falling?
Yeah, they're not good. They're frozen. They've been frozen.
Oh, frozen, yeah, sure.
And when they hit the ground, they kind of split in two. Okay. And then the deer and the turkeys.
Sure.
Well, that's how God's taking care of them.
Yeah, and I walked under there the other day, and one just went right down by. Don't walk under there. And one of those things that being in the head, it hurt.
It would hurt, yeah.
Yep, stay away from coconut trees.
Oh, yeah, that'd be terrible.
They not only would knock you out, they would probably kill you. All right, let's go to our study here today. We're in the sixth chapter of 1 Timothy, looking at verses 11 through 16. 11 through 16. let's read 11 through 16 first, and then we'll get into our questions here. Sharon, you want to start? And if you don't want to say anything, you just say pass.
But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses.
I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who testified the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep the commandment without stain or reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ.
I'm going to pass.
15.
I don't know where we
15,
are.
I think.
Oh, 15. Yeah.
15. Which God will bring about in his own time, God the blessed and the only ruler, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords.
Who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to him be honor and might forever. Amen.
All right, I'm just going to move this so the recorder can...
Right, Tim.
I mean, you can have it. I just want to make sure the recorder gets to hear your conversation or answers or things like that. All right, what does Paul say to younger pastors to flee or run from? What is he?
All kinds of
evil.
Okay, evil? Any specific things? I mean, you're right, it's... To run from evil.
Money.
The love of money.
Because, I mean, the answer you got to kind of go back to last week.
Yeah. All those things we were talking about, quarrels.
Because it says all those things, or all this. What are those things? And they're listed.
Yep. So ungodliness.
Ungodliness, yeah. So you should just be aware of those things, and it's like, have nothing to do with them. Run away from them.
Foolish and harmful desires.
Yeah.
What did you say?
Foolish and harmful desires.
All right, so that takes us to number two. It says just the opposite. What are pastors to pursue? What are they?
Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness.
Okay, yeah.
All the good things.
They're all listed right there, aren't they? Mm-hmm. He kind of really lays it out there. This is where you need to be focused on. These are all good things. That you find that probably there in verse 11. Mm-hmm. I believe so. The next one, number three. This one you get to circle as many of those things that you would like to, that pertains to the good fight. What is the good fight of faith? So what would be the first one you would circle?
Eternal life.
Right. B. A is financial gain. You would not circle that one. B, eternal life. C, being conceited. Is that one you should circle?
No.
No. How about D?
No.
Quarrels.
No.
How about E?
Yes.
Contentment. Yes. Yeah. F is controversies.
No.
No. G is?
Godliness.
H, it says corrupt. You don't circle that one. I is confession.
Yes.
That'd be good, yeah. J is money. Wouldn't circle that one. K is endurance.
Yes.
L, love.
Yes.
M, gentleness.
Yes.
N, friction.
No.
You know, that gentleness, that's an interesting one, isn't it?
It is.
If you really think about it, how often anymore do we actually think about, you know, being gentle? It's like it's not an in thing to be gentle. You know, and I think of us with the kids, you know? They need some gentleness in their lives because they don't get along. There's some sad situations there. And you know,
I was married to a man for 62 years that was a gentleman,
yes,
a kind,
Elmer was
loving,
a gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I think Don is married to one of those.
You haven't lived with me for that long.
Bruce, you're gentle.
You're putting out a good front. No, I know we have, everyone has their moments, but you know, really, that's something you just don't hear a lot about anymore.
Gentle. Part of the fruits of the Spirit.
Yes,
I believe
sure
too.
Is.
Being gentle. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're Mr. Fix-It, you sometimes can't be gentle. Right?
There you go.
You got to get a little rough and tough with some of that stuff, don't you, Denny? Oh, before I forget, the birdhouses?
Yeah.
Boy, have I had birds looking them over, but not going in.
Well, give them time.
But I mean, sparrows, I go like, sparrows don't need to go in there because the holes, I think,
aren't big enough.
Are big enough for the sparrows. But the chickadees have sure been looking. They stick their heads in there, but I never seen anybody go in there yet. Mm-hmm. All right.
And they might go in at night.
Really?
Hmm. Did you spread out the welcome mat?
Neon sign.
The bats are going in.
Hope not. Hope not. All right, gentleness, that's a, you know, I think there is a lot of gentleness that is shared Wednesdays with the kids, you know. Sometimes it can get a little irate. Sometimes it depends upon if they had enough sugar. But you're actually right. Gentleness is always something good.
Well, I'm sorry. I just when you stepped in our class last night, yeah, and you put your hand on that gal's shoulder.
Mm-hmm. I remember doing that.
That was gentle, and so you did. And that gal needs some gentleness in her life. Whether she, you know what I'm saying, appreciated, I don't know, but she needed that touch.
Mm. Now I'm thinking, who in the world was that?
Anyway.
All right. How about faith?
Yes.
Circle faith.
Oh, yeah.
P.
Righteousness.
Righteousness. Yes.
Truth.
Q. Truth. Yes. Yes. S is false. And T is evil. No. Those should not be circled. There's quite a few of them in there. Yeah. I did that on purpose just to try to confuse you. But you all answered them correctly. No one got anything wrong. Not even Dina.
Yeah, imagine that.
All right, number four. We know that Timothy is to run away from some things, but what is he to run toward? What would you put in that blank? You know, it can be more than one word as well. What is Timothy supposed to run toward? He's been told what to run away from. probably wouldn't be just Timothy, it'd be any other younger pastor at that time or in the future.
Eternal life.
How do you run towards eternal life?
Well, it says take hold of the eternal life to which you were called.
All right.
I was thinking all those things that we circled.
So you can really sum it all up by saying you run toward whatever is right.
Godliness.
Which it, goes along with that. To whatever is right. Run towards. How do we know what is right? That's where you need the Bible. It will tell us simply what is right and what is wrong. It's interesting with even the high school girls that come to my office. There was a couple of them that stayed later while the other ones left and were asking about, well, how about, how do you know that the Bible is something you should be following? You know, somebody could have just wrote the Bible. But I go like, how much do you know about the Bible as far as how we got it? And I go like, how many people wrote the Bible? Of course, they had no clue. In their minds, they thought it was just like one person sat down and wrote the Bible. I'm going like, hey, it wasn't like that at all.
Like a novel.
Yeah. So it's like a span of 15 to 1600 years is what it covers. And you've got people who lived during that time and people who did not know each other who wrote the scriptures.
I could do that again.
And the Bible as we have it today did not come together until like about the 4th century. It becomes like we have it, and then there's changes up to like the 14th century is approximately in there where, the Bible isn't where you had the verses, chapters and the verses. I mean, that was never there until like the 14th century. So, I mean, we've got it pretty easy, and of course it was called a Geneva Bible that actually put in the numbers to verses and to chapters. And it was just an easier way to find things and to memorize things, that how that came about. But think about it, it was over almost 1,500 years before that ever came. And then to think of the people who lost their lives because they just wanted to have it in their own language. Wycliffe, another guy. Who's that other guy?
Elliot?
Tyndall.
Oh,
Tyndall. Well, Elliot's that's modern. But William Tyndale, that's what his name is. He and then John Wycliffe translated the Bible from, it was only in Latin at that time, and they put it into the English language, and they would stick it into flour bags or different kind of produce that was being sent to England. And then they'd have what they called lollards. Lollards is what they were, that would go into the town squares and they would read scripture to the people. But if they got caught, they would be imprisoned and fined and some even lost their lives. They'd be hung or burned at the stake. And so it's like, for us to have the Bible like we have it today, is like, we have no idea that a lot of these things took place in history, that we have it pretty easy. Because you can get the Bible now in any language that is known to man, get it printed. And yet there's still languages that have not been written down for people to read it, to read in their own language, the mother tongue. But there are people out there, missionaries, who are out there trying to do that, get their vocabulary or their words down into print, and then to teach the people to read and to write. And that still goes on today. So
we've been supporting a couple, Jane and
Falstick.
That we're working with Wycliffe in Vanuatu or something.
Yeah, it's an island in the South Pacific.
But I think they've left them now.
Yeah, they went with some other group type of thing.
They have a child now.
Yeah, and Jane is from China. Mm-hmm. Her parents are not believers. And so when they go to visit her parents, it's not an easy time because, you know, first of all, she married an American. And she's probably the only girl, because that's, you only can probably have one child in China. But they get to see the grandchild, but then they go like, well, she is a believer, she's a Christian. That's a no-no in China too. So it's not easy when she goes, and she's got heart, I think some heart issues when she was here. But yeah, it's just think like, wow, only God can bring these things about and use people from different countries, different places, different backgrounds, and go to places you are so strange and foreign to you. Now, Iowa is very strange for me. I'm just kidding.
I was wondering, how does Luther's catechism compare or correlate with the Bible teachings?
Should be right on. He made a small catechism for the youth, and the large catechism was for the parents, for adults. Mm-hmm. That the adults were supposed to, and the youth were kind of read it together, but it's expanded. The large catechism is just more expanded than what the small catechism is. But it's really just question and answers. I mean, questions about the Bible, and then where in the Bible do you find the answers that go along with the question? And he had, and his whole mindset was he wanted to reach the youth to let them know what was in the Bible. It was just a simple little thing. And that's why he did it. To the chagrin of a lot of people who've had Luther's small catechism taught to them, it probably was more fun than Luther taught it than some pastors that you've had. All right, number five. In the 13th verse of chapter 6, there is a Roman governor mentioned in this verse. Who is he?
Pontius Pilate.
Pontius Pilate, you're correct. So why is he mentioned? Why is Pontius Pilate mentioned here?
Well, he crucified Jesus.
What's that?
He crucified Jesus.
Yeah, did he want him crucified?
No.
He did his best to try to, that he wouldn't be.
Well, it says Christ Jesus who testified, who while testifying before Pontius Pilate.
And what did Jesus say before Pilate? Anybody recall?
Well, like, who do you say I am? Or who do the other people say I am? Or something like that.
Well, it was about truth. And Pilate asked the question, well, what is truth? That was a real deal that day, in that time period. What is truth? I mean, what Jesus said to Pilate, everything he said to him was spot on. You find every gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there is a place in there where Jesus is with Pilate, Pontius Pilate. We should probably just look at that, because I just want you to look for where Jesus is with Pilate, and then what does Pilate ask Jesus or say to Jesus, and then how does Jesus respond?
Are you the king of the Jews?
Okay, what book are you in?
I'm in John 8.
Okay, you're in John. Okay, let's start with Matthew.
Luke. Matthew 27.
Yeah. So Matthew, who wants to look for Mark?
I will.
Okay, Sharon will look for Mark. We got someone in John. That was you.
Okay.
You got Luke. Okay. All right, so let's start with when Dina gets ready.
In Matthew?
Yep, Matthew. Okay.
The governor asked him, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus replied, yes, it is as you say. And then Pilate asked him, don't you hear the testimony they are bringing against you? But Jesus made no reply, not even a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor.
Okay. Now we know that Pontius Pilate was what?
The governor.
Governor. You know, pretty important job to have in the Roman Empire. All right, how about Mark?
And Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered him, "You have said so." And the chief priests accused him of many things. And Pilate asked him again, "Have you no answer to make? See how many charges they bring against you." But Jesus made no further answer, so that Pilate was amazed.
Okay. What amazed Pilate with Jesus at that time?
That he didn't defend himself to those charges.
He didn't defend himself. A lot of different charges. Of course, all the accusations that were brought to Pilate, or things that were said to Jesus about what he's been doing or what he's been up to, were all false anyway. How about Luke? What does Luke say?
So Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Yes, it is as you say," Jesus replied. And then later on, he plied him with many questions, but Jesus gave him no answer.
Okay, interesting. And John, the last gospel.
Well, this one has a little more to say.
Sure.
Then Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus replied, "King, as you use the word, or as the Jews use it." Pilate said, "Am I a Jew? Your own people and their chief priests brought you here. Why? What have you done?" Jesus answered, "I am not an earthly king. If I were, my followers would have fought when I was arrested by the Jewish leaders. But my kingdom is not of this world." Pilate answered, "But you are a king then?" And Jesus said, "Yes, I was born for that purpose, and I came to bring truth to the world. All who love the truth are my followers."
And then, Pilate tried his best to get Jesus released. He said, "Well, I'll punish him and then release him." And how did that go over?
They didn't want that.
Caiaphas wouldn't have anything to do with it. He wanted him gone.
Yeah. And then Pilate even said, "Well, this time of the year, I will release one person who's been in prison or whatever to let them go. And then, but who do you want? Do you want Jesus, the king who says he's the king of the Jews, or the Christ? Or do you want..." What was that guy's name?
Barabbas.
Yeah, Barabbas. And the people chose
Barabbas.
Okay,
what didn't the chief priests, didn't Caiaphas has did wasn't that predestined that this was so early in the morning. He was released. Barabbas was released early in the morning before the people were up. Mm-hmm. So they had a crowd there that was handpicked by the chief priests.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then one of the Gospels says that the chief priests went out kind of into the crowd to tell the people, "This is what you say."
Yeah.
When it comes out, you know, if he asks who to release, you yell Barabbas, or "We want Barabbas. We don't want Jesus to be released. That's the one we want to see dead. Of course, there's reasons for that, too. I mean, the Jews could not... Capital punishment for the Jews was what?
Stoning.
It was stoning.
Oh, no crucifixion.
Yeah. Only the Romans could crucify. Mm. So, therefore, they had to get the Romans included in this whole plot. And that's where Pilate comes in. So Pilate basically gives a stamp of approval. "All right, take him, do with him what you want." And that's when he was flogged and then he was crucified. But Pilate could have stopped that if he really wanted to. But he went in with the pressures of the crowd, of the people. He followed them instead. Because he didn't want to get in trouble with the Caesar of Rome, the Emperor of Rome, either. I think he was already on thin ice with the Roman authorities. So that's, but we see where Jesus, what he told Pontius Pilate was a good testimony, wasn't it? He just said really who he was. He wasn't ashamed. He didn't back away from it. He didn't come up with another story. He just said the way it is. And he knew that this was going to happen to him for many years. That's the reason why he came to this world, was to to die at the hands of the religious leaders in Jerusalem, and a terrible death there was. All right, let's move on. Number six, what is Paul's charge to Timothy after referring to Jesus Christ and the Roman governor in the previous verse? What is his charge to Timothy?
Keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's kind of like just hang in there. Keep the faith. Stay true to the commandments. And he just didn't want Timothy... Timothy will have accusers, but he does not want the accusers to be right. They will accuse him, as Christians will be accused, but it doesn't mean that they have done what they've been accused of. So he just said for Timothy, just be blameless, even though things will be said about you. Seven, Paul closes his letter in giving praise to God. What does he say about God in these two verses? See, the answers get easier as we go along here.
Yeah, but he says a lot about that.
Yeah, he does, surprisingly. What does he say?
Who alone is immortal?
He's immortal? What does immortal mean?
Live forever.
Yeah, forever. Lives alive forever. Been around forever.
Sovereign.
Sovereign.
Yeah. You have kings, Lord of lords.
Okay. Power. The only ruler and a blessed ruler. Mm-hmm. Capital R, I think it is. Ruler. Mm-hmm. And that he gives him honor and might forever. But those are some pretty big names to be given.
My Bible said, I think it's interesting, whom no one has ever seen or can see.
Yeah. Yeah. Number eight, the last one. How does Paul end what he says there in verse number 16? What's the very last word?
Amen.
Amen. What does amen mean?
So be it. All these things be true.
Let it be so.
Let it be so. So be it. Truly, truly, I say to you. I mean, Jesus used that quite a bit too. Truly, truly. It's an expression of certainty. Amen is. So be it. It means that God will hear what has been asked of him. Truly, truly. So that's the end of today's lesson.
Good one.
Turn this off.